Jerry, we're talking about how the shroud echoes the story of the crucifixion. Let's get back into that.
It's very interesting, George, because as you look at the injuries of the crucified man, the shroud, it's exactly precise, even according to modern anatomical analysis, as well as completely faithful to the New Testament Gospels. I went to research several of the books. There's two volumes, Raymond Brown and the Death of the Messiah, a variety of forensic studies, one by Frederick Zugabe, which was an excellent study of crucifixion. Let me point out a couple things that really have fascinated me over the years. The scourge marks. The body is very heavily scourged, whipped, front and back. And the scourge's marks are authentic to the way of the Roman flagellum, the short-handled whip with the leather thongs at the end of which the Romans tended to have barbell pieces of metal dug into the skin. And it looks like the man was, the shroud, just like the Bible says, was tied to a pillar and whipped. It's clear that the injuries were so severe, the man being whipped in the shroud, this crucified man, must have tried to rotate from the back to the front to avoid the back just being ripped apart. But the interesting thing, and the shroud shows it, is the Romans had a science of crucifixion. They crucified thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people in ancient Rome. And so if a person needed to die quickly, the scourging was more severe because it took completely all the energy out of a person. It's clear that in this, the Shroud of Turin, Jesus here, this image of the man, was completely, brutally scourged.
They tortured him.
They tortured him. And the time for the crucifixion was limited. I mean, the Passover story of Easter and the fact that they were, according to Jewish law, the body had to be taken down from the cross and put into the sepulcher by sundown on Sabbath. So the Romans had a short time in which to crucify this man and kill him. And the scourging bears witness to that. The body of the man in the crown, in the Shroud of Turin, the crown of thorns, usually, historically, when you look at the medieval paintings, the crown of thorns was like a band around the head. But as you look in the man in the shroud, it's a full cap, a skull cap. Even the injuries occur in the top of the head from the thorns of the crown of thorns piercing into the scalp, and again the wounds on the wrist, which were through the bones of the wrist, not the palm of the hand, as you see again depicted in most of the medieval paintings. And part of the there were variations, and I point this out in the novel, The Shroud Codex. I really get into what we can learn from the shroud, because my father Bartholomew, my character, is going through all the similar wounds in his life, having come back from a near-death experience and trying to explain the message in the shroud. The Romans, if they wanted a person to live a longer time crucified, would, for instance, put a little seat, like a sedile, a little seat you could sit on, or something for the feet to rest on. Part of the problem with crucifixion was a man was crucified, the arms were outstretched, and the problem was asphyxiation. As the person tired and you weighted down, you had to push yourself up on your feet in order to gain a breath, to exhale. And if the nails were in your feet, you were pushing up against the nails, and that had to be just brutal, the pain. And then as you took a breath, the tension on the hands. So if there was no seat or no footrest, the body was just simply limp in this pressure on the hands of the feet nailed to the cross. And that's, the evident pain and the evident wounds in the Shroud of Turin are all accurate. Even as to one foot, it was clear that the sole of one foot is clear from the blood on the shroud. The other leg is bent over and placed on top, so one nail would have pierced both feet. The body was brutally beaten, but the legs are not broken. Now, this is another significant point in understanding crucifixion, because the Romans would if they wanted to kill someone quickly, they'd break the legs. Because then, of course, you went through asphyxiation much more quickly because you couldn't push yourself back up to exhale. And in this man crucified, just like in the biblical accounts of the New Testament, there is a piercing wound in the right side. And, of course, the historical story in the Bible is that Christ, one of the centurions pierced Christ's side with a lance to the heart to make sure that he was dead before the Jews were allowed to take the body down and bury it. They wanted to make sure the man was actually dead. And since it appeared to be dead, they didn't break his legs. They pierced with a spear his side, and that wound is evident on the Shroud of Turin. Now, we were talking before, George, about the mystical quality, the transcendental quality. And, you know, as you look at the face of the man in the shroud, which is this, it always has struck me, even watching the shroud, studying it in person, the tranquility, the serenity of this face.
He looks at peace.
He looks at peace. I mean, the eyes are closed. This is a man who suffered brutally. The crucifixion, I can't think of a more brutal way to be crucified, to die. Obviously, public humiliation. The man appears to have been naked in all of these injuries. That would have been the most humiliating way the Romans would have crucified a person. And then the face has this calm nature, as if the person had resigned to this fate. And of course, you know, those of us who would believe, reading into the New Testament, that Christ accepted this as his fate, as part of the redemption of human beings and part of the salvation, that whole story of what the crucifixion and the death of Christ was about, original sin and the redemption from original sin, all of that, certainly when you look at the man in the Shroud of Turin, there's a recognition that this suffering was for some purpose. There's a tranquility that transcends the pain.
Did he know he was going to die this way, Jerry?
I think certainly in the New Testament, when Christ enters Jerusalem, preceding Easter, preceding the Passover, he knew he was going to die. It was fulfillment of the Testament, of the prophecies, and Christ talks about this. The Bible talks about it. Certainly, this is another fascinating thing when you study the Shroud. And I write about this in the novel. When I go through Father Bartholomew's experiences, he transcends his mind trips. He's experiencing being scourged at the pillar. He's thinking like Jesus. There had to be a point when this man was being scourged, when you realize you're not going to survive this, that the Romans are beating you to within an inch of your life, and they're doing it on purpose and very skillfully, exactly what they're doing. The Romans who beat a man, and the man being crucified died. I mean, that you'd be punished as a Roman soldier for doing that. You didn't do your job well.
Right, right.
The job was to beat this person into submission, get the person close to dying, but still alive enough to carry the beam of the cross to the place of crucifixion, and then to survive the crucifixion, to die there. That dying early would have been, you had been punished as a Roman soldier to do it. But certainly, if you were the man being crucified, as I wrote the novel, I've tried to project myself into, you know, what it must have been like to have been this man in the Shroud of Turin, or to have been Christ being crucified. At some point, you've been judged to be executed. You're being beaten, and your mind says, "I'm not going to live through this. I'm not. This is death. I'm not going to make it." And any human being would have a tendency at that point to panic. But yet the face of the man of the Shroud does not show panic. It shows resignation. It shows acceptance, tranquility, dignity. I mean, and that, when I sat, 1998, in Turin, in the cathedral, and looked at the Shroud and meditated on it, studied it, that overwhelming sense of peace comes from the Shroud.